Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? My favorite co-host, Adita Hayden. There we go.
Yes.
Let's get it right.
Yes. Good morning. This is the My Community Plan Foundation Hour.
World as we see it.
Yes.
There we go. We had an exciting show this morning.
We have an exciting show. We're coming off of an exciting election season here in Cook County in Chicago. And so a lot of decisions made, a lot of decisions yet to be declared.
And without questioning along that yet to be declared, we have a special breaking news. We have on hold that would be Clayton Harris III. Good morning, Clayton.
Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes,
thank
and
you
so
very much.
We understand that there's breaking news in your race. When I last tuned in, you were down by 30,000, and now where are we with this race? And you're running for the state's attorney's race in Cook County.
You're right, for Cook County state's attorney right now, the lead is barely 4,800, less than that votes. So they still have about, I think about 10,000, at least 10,000 more votes to count. So we're feeling very, very good. Every update, we're closer and closer.
Now, is that 10,000 for the county and the city? I mean, for the county and the city, or just 10,000 altogether?
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Right, 100% where it breaks down. But, with me and for me, 10,000 votes, 10,000 more people whose voices need to be heard. So we're going to count them all.
Yes, and have those ballots been predominantly mail-in ballots at this stage?
I think they are now. At this point in time, they're all mail-in ballots.
Okay, so maybe some reasons to feel confident as a campaign.
Oh, absolutely. I maintain my faith. Have all the way through, not just the election day or whatnot, but the whole time for this campaign. It's been one that I believe this is my calling right now to do this. I feel like I'm uniquely qualified, and I'm excited about what the results are going to be.
Thank you so much.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Well, as Frank Calabrese, who is a friend of mine, and he's an electoral expert, and he sent over this breaking news information. So it says that you're right at 4,771, and
yep.
There have been the votes has been added. You've been getting 61% of those votes that have been counted. So if there's 10,000 left, and if you get 61% of that, that would be amazing news. That would be really breaking news. We would be declaring you the winner if we could hold on to that percentage.
I'm excited, and I'm keeping the faith. I'm on my way to church right now to make sure that we keep sending these prayers up.
All right. Well, we're sending prayers up too. We just wanted to get you in so you can talk a little bit about your race. And so, how are they counting the votes? I mean, who is down there? How is that process going? And do you still need people to watch the watchers, watch the counters?
Actually, right now, the Board of Elections is handling everything. There are a lot of election judges that are going through the ballots, and we have poll watchers. Both sides have poll watchers, during the whole process. They'll be at it again today. It's good to see democracy in action, democracy working.
And so where do they count at? Where is counting at today?
They're downtown at 69 West Washington, I think, is where all that's going on at the Board of Elections.
All right. And if someone wanted to volunteer to be a watcher?
I think they could go down there, or they could definitely go to my website at www.claytonharrisforcook.com. And there's a volunteer section right there, and they can reach out.
There we go. Breaking news. I want to thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you so much, and we wish you the best of luck as these results continue to come in.
Thank you both. Thank you much. So now, can we have another guest lined up? I believe Mariana Spiropoulos.
Yes.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Can we get that this young woman a clap? I understand that you are victorious.
I am victorious.
That deserves an extra hand clap. We have a certified result over here.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, but this was
Thank you.
Primary election, and so you will
yes.
be participating in a general election as well.
This is true. There is a Republican that is running this race.
And maybe perhaps an independent, I believe, at one point. But we wish you the best of luck as well. How will you see Thank your you. Campaign shifting from running in a primary to running in a general election?
Well, due to the lay of the land in Cook County, oftentimes the Democratic, the person who prevails in the Democratic primary has a very good chance of prevailing in the general. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, you still want to keep a presence. You still want to go out and speak to voters. But the intensity of the race is not as necessary at this point. But obviously, we're still going to be, you know, going out and going to all communities and talking about our message.
Yes, I'm not unfamiliar with the benefits of living in a Democratic town. I am originally from Philadelphia, where Democrats outnumber Republicans about 8 or 9 to 1. And so similar kind of style there, where you have really competitive primary races among the Democratic Party. And then once you're able to make it out of that, you know, it's a very different climate going into that general.
You're right. Absolutely. But like you say, you don't want to disappear. So it's important to you know, you rest, you enjoy your victory, and then you sort of regroup and begin again.
Well, we just had Clayton Harris on, and he was talking about his election and how close it is. And they're now separated by just 4,000 votes with any number of ones that are left out to be counted from the mail-ins. And how do you see yourself as now the new leader of clerk of the circuit court? What are some of the principal functions that you think you're going to examine as you go into this office?
Well, we've got quite a few things that we're going to have to work on. I mean, we ran on a ethics and transparency platform, improving the technology and making sure that we bring the court system to communities.
Yes.
And so, you know, everything sort of falls under those three points. You want to make sure that the office is accessible to people by working with faith leaders, community leaders, setting up pop-up legal clinics with having legal assistance for people to file their documentation. And, you know, so they don't have to come down to a courthouse. They could do it at a community center in their communities. I think that makes it more accessible to people. Being able to access your information on your phone. We're in the 21st century, and we pretty much manage our lives through our phones. You should be able to access your court date on your phone if you have one. It's just one of the points. There's a lot of other things. If we have a couple hours, I'm happy to talk to you about it.
No, we don't have a couple of hours, but we do have another 8 minutes.
Okay. And you know, with regards to transparency and ethics, this is something that has been highlighted throughout the campaign, and the media certainly has many stories with regards to what is currently going on in the office. We want to start a fresh page and have people have faith that things are working properly and that their tax dollars are being used wisely. You know, our democracy, we talk about our democracy being under threat, and it's only as strong as people's faith in it. And I think if people feel that there's ethics and transparency in an office, that they'll have confidence and faith in that office.
Well,
and that's what
we
want to bring back.
It is an office that many people within Cook County have to interact with, because you don't only just file papers to go to court. Aren't you on the respiratory? I mean, don't you have to request for records from you? From your office?
Yes, there are many records, unless it's marriage certificates, and that would be Karen Yarbrough's department. So there's two different clerks. One is clerk of the court system, and then Karen Yarbrough is the clerk of Cook County. So elections and marriage certificates, death certificates would be her department. But yeah, you're right. There's fines and fees and tickets. All of that gets processed through the clerk of the circuit court's office. And orders of protections, warrants. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Orders of protect. I was just going to name some of the things, you know, like processing of warrants, emergency orders of protection, expungements, electronic, you know, the case docket. All of that is processed through the clerk's office.
And as we talk about the ways that, you know, folks will come in contact with the office, to run on ethics and transparency is a rather, you know, bold statement. And so there'll be many eyes looking at you and looking at particularly your first year in that role. How are you preparing a transition committee or looking at budgets to try to make sure that you can make that impact right away?
Well, we're doing exactly what you just said. We are looking at, you know, there's going to be a proposed budget this year. So we're looking at that. We're looking at past budgets and how they've changed. And we are talking to a lot of leaders in the community to put together a transition team that will be ready. I mean, we have 8 months, but we don't want to waste any time. So we're already having those conversations to put together a transition team that will start being broken down into respective areas, and we'll have the knowledge base and experience to be able to come up with, you know, what we need to, like I said, hit the ground running.
And so part of what you will do as you transition into being, I guess you're the nominee now?
Yes.
Is the correct title? And so when is your first set of, I guess, community meetings when you start transitioning to people and inviting them in to give you input on how to assist in this new massive effort that you have?
We will probably in the next few months, we'll start going around having like a listening tour throughout communities and meeting community leaders, community groups to get input. You know, on what their experience has been with the clerk's office, but also thoughts and suggestions on how to improve it. Sometimes some of the best ideas come out of, you know, not necessarily the office itself, but the community that's had to interact with the office. So we definitely want to have the input from the community as well.
Excellent, excellent. Well, keep us on that list. I mean, we will go out with you to some of these sessions and document and bring our listening audience involved. And if those who have ideas and suggestions, also, we will work to do that as well.
Yeah, because we definitely say, speaking of Karen Yarborough, democracy is not a spectator sport. And so while we advocate for and recognize the importance of voting, that's only one step. That's only one activity in participation.
That's right.
It goes beyond, you know, researching and voting for candidates, but then continuing to be involved, make your voice heard so they know your top concerns, and just continue to take part in the process.
Absolutely. I agree.
All right, all right. I do.
Thank
I have
you.
Music in the background, so that does mean
creeping
that we are on our way.
Yes, to a commercial break. This is the My Community Plan Foundation Hour, and we'll be right back after these station messages.
Great. Thank you so much.
Eligible Cook County residents can save up to $500 per year on their electric bill by subscribing to Community Solar. Subscriptions are available to renters and homeowners on a first-come, first-served basis. You are eligible to participate if your household income is at or below 80% area median income and you currently pay a ComEd electricity bill. Don't disqualify yourself. Contact Groundswell today at 202-505-3051 or customer service at groundswell.org.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's Z-A-K-A-T.org.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. With us on the line is the newly Democratic nominee for the clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County, Mariana Spiropoulos. Welcome back to the show.
Mariana?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So you're getting ready to to sort of, you know, wrap it up. So are there any important things, phone numbers or ways in which our individuals need to reach out, to touch, to still volunteer if they want to give input, participate?
Yes. People can check out the website citizensformariana.com. And we have a section where you can volunteer or you know, send us a message of any kind. If you want to get involved or if you have thoughts, ideas, suggestions on improving the office, let us know.
All right.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We're also on all social media as well. So.
All right. Next time you come back, we have to talk about the election turnout.
Yes, it was a great turnout.
Well, it was a great under turnout. I think it was almost record low.
Well, that's true. But the people who did show up voted for me, so I'm happy about that.
Well, that part. All winners would say that, that's for sure. She gets a clap for that comment. There we go.
Okay.
You made it. Thank you so much for calling in this morning, participating in our show. We look forward to having you back. And maybe you'll be a regular. I mean, we'll have a clerk of the circuit court report every quarter.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's do it.
Have a great morning.
Thank you. All righty. So we will be transitioning on to our next guest.
Yes, we will.
We have with us Ms. Karen Freeman Wilson, the president and CEO of the Chicago Urban League. Also not a stranger to this program. Welcome back, Ms. Karen.
Good morning. How are you both this morning?
Doing well. How are you? Thank you for waking up and hanging out with us this morning.
Yeah, it was definitely a wake up this morning. Normally I am up, but
it's a different kind.
An alarm this morning.
Well, you know,
but I was excited about joining you this morning.
Oh, yes, indeed. I understand you got some exciting things that's going on over there at the Urban League. But for those who don't know, sort of tell us about the storied history of the Urban League.
Well, the Chicago Urban League grew out of the migration of blacks from the South to the North. In fact, the entire Urban League movement did, and we are one of 92 affiliates of the National Urban League, but we have been in the community since 1916. Our sole purpose was then and continues to be helping blacks get acclimated to, then it was life in the city and the big city coming from the south to the north now is just getting acclimated to life. And so we do that through convening. We do it through our research, policy, our advocacy. But we also do that through programming and workforce development, housing and financial empowerment, in our entrepreneurship and economic development programs, as well as our youth and family services, and then our leadership development. We have one of the premier leadership programs for Black professionals in the country, but certainly in the Chicagoland area. So that's what we do. We have been busy in many respects. As an example, we just held a youth summit down in Tinley Park on March 19th, where we had over 1,800 young people and over 200 volunteers in Tinley Park in a STEM-focused youth summit. And then on yesterday, the second part of that youth summit was a basketball tournament where our youth engaged with the members of the Chicago Police Department at Urban Prep in Englewood. So that was just in March. In April, we have a Black Women's Health Summit coming up, where we'll focus on Black maternal health, on menopause, and then we will discuss the fact that Black women over-index on violent crime, as victims of violent crime, by 25%. You may have seen that coverage by Dorothy Tucker this summer. And so we're going to continue not just the conversation, but discussing solutions to that issue. And then on May 17th, we've got a major policy summit coming up, talking about the solutions to our state of Black Chicago. You may be familiar with the fact that every 2 years we publish the state of Black Chicago. Two of the things that we highlighted was that Black people lag behind everyone else in income and home ownership, in addition to education and a number of other factors. So we want to talk about solutions in terms of career development, family-sustaining careers, and how to address the barriers to home ownership. So I'll stop there, and because this is a conversation.
Yeah. Well, there's so much happening with you all at the Urban League. So I did want to highlight, because the Impact Leadership Development Program does have open applications right now. So the Leadership Development Program that you're speaking about earlier, this is, I believe, the 10th anniversary, going into the 11th class of folks. And you can go online and find that application. That closes on Tuesday, April 30th. Am I correct?
That is correct. We have pages on both LinkedIn as well as on Facebook and Instagram. And you can certainly go to our website, chiul.org. And April 30th is the deadline.
So as a review for the listening audience, we first started off with early in the 1900s, we had close to somewhere between that migration period between 1904 to, let's say, 1965, roughly about 8 million Blacks migrated from the South to various large cities. And then in that, we was first, the Urban League was our advocacy, our voice that was fighting for us. And then, so that was that transition. So now we're here, we're now migrating here. And so now it's a fight to thrive and survive is where we are today. And in that.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And so in that, you produce the Urban League under your leadership. They do a state of the...
of Black Chicago?
Of Black Chicago.
Yes.
So that would infer that you got a research institute there?
We do. We have a research and policy institute. In fact, we do the state of Black Chicago every 2 years. But in May of 2020, we were one of the first research and policy institutes to produce a white paper on COVID that didn't just talk about the health disparities that were impacting Black people, but all of the areas of disparities as related to the social determinants of health, work, housing, education. It was called an epidemic of inequities, COVID-19 and the Black community. We talked about what would happen if there was a census undercount. We published that right before the census count, and it drove, or at least influenced, the decision of the state to allocate additional money in the Black and Latino communities to enhance the census count. And then we also published a paper called Whitewash, which talk about the disparate treatment available around opioid addiction in the Black community versus the white community. And then our upcoming publication is a result of a R3 grant from the state of Illinois, where we will talk about reparations, community reparations, and why that is important.
So an R3 grant for the listening audience, what is that? And then you guys received it, and I guess you should say that you will be advocating for reparations or laying that out. So what's an R3 grant?
We will make the case for reparations. So we will be advocating for why reparations are important and what it really means.
All right. So
and the R3 grant is the dollars that the state of Illinois set aside from cannabis taxes.
Cannabis taxes. That's an interesting concept.
It's a certainly a revenue pool for the city.
Well, it sounds like it's a topic of one of our morning shows, cannabis
sure.
taxes and
well,
how
maybe
they're
not
being used.
Exclusive. Oh, how they're being used. The rates. Yeah, certainly there's a lot of interesting things happening in Chicago, Cook County, and the state of Illinois around like cannabis and who's getting access to the word is escaping me now, but the permissions to be able to open a dispensary, licenses.
The licenses,
yes.
No, that's a real conversation.
And as we talk about advocating for Black people in spaces too, like, you know, cannabis has been around the Black community. We've been incarcerated behind it, but yet as licenses are coming out, that's, you know, not who's getting them. So
yeah, on paper, that's, we have one of the most progressive bills,
legislation
laws
efforts
in the country, pieces of legislation in the country. In reality, it is abysmal. And we have actually been having a lot of conversations about why that is and really looking at some changes that could happen because, you know, getting one dispensary will not change the trajectory of your life significantly. I mean, because it's just one dispensary and there are so many large multi-state operators. But if you are a business that provides security, as an example, to multiple dispensaries or transportation, or if you are engaged in electrical contracting with multiple dispensaries, dispensaries. That can be a life-changing mechanism. So what we've been really focused on with our Center for Entrepreneurship is, yes, you know, who wouldn't want a dispensary, but also look at some of the ancillary and related businesses that can really do business in the cannabis industry, wow, even food-related businesses.
My leader, Karen, I would like for you to pause for the calls. That music means we must take a break to pay our bills.
Yes, this is the My Community Plan Foundation
Hour. We should be right back. Don't leave us.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Welcome back.
Welcome back
to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour.
World.
Yes. As we see it, as we know it, as we call it. With us on the line is President and CEO of the Chicago Urban League, Ms. Karen Freeman Wilson. And we have been talking about all great things that the Urban League has going on, upcoming, their history, their legacy, and just the continued advocacy for equity and equality of Black people in Chicago, Black women, Black women's health. There's so many cannabis, all that we can get into.
And don't forget their Center for Research and then their entrepreneurship.
And the Impact Leadership Development Program.
That's right, that's right. And there's just so much here to talk about, but we have to sort of wrap it up and save her to come back for another show because there's just so much more to deep dive into. We really need to thank you for being here. And how should they reach out to the Urban League if they want to volunteer, participate, sign up?
Please reach out through our website, chiul.org. We welcome volunteers. As an example, in August, we always have a back-to-school event on our site, and we would welcome volunteers for that because we typically give out anywhere from 600 to 800 book bags. We are always looking for volunteers. We pack trunks for our college students because we have a number of college students. In fact, we have scholarships open until March 31st, so please take a look at our website for scholarship opportunities for our graduating seniors, and so we need people to pack trunks. And you know, if you're a first-time home buyer, if you need help with foreclosure, if you just want to look at your finances and try to tighten up your financial picture, if you're looking, not just looking for your first job, but just maybe looking to upskill. We've got a whole urban tech jobs program, Drone Academy. We have solar installation and sales. We have a number of career opportunities that will really allow you to sustain and support your families. And then doing amazing things with our youth in STEM. We have a group of young people that we're taking to Ghana just this July. So, you know, the thing about an organization that has been around for over 107 years is like that artist that has been around in every generation or every decade. You have to stay relevant. And that's what we are working to do, stay relevant. And we are absolutely engaged in voter turnout because 20% is abysmal. My position is if you never register another person, it would be okay because then we would be solely focused on voter turnout.
Well, my Community Plan Foundation, we will partner with you on voter turnout and education, and this just being the beginning of it. I really enjoyed having you this morning. We will circle back to you. Really appreciate it. And thanks again.
Thank you both.
And we will announce your solar hire event in the next segment. But thank you very much. She gets a clap.
Fantastic. And that solar event is solar hiring event, build and grow your next career in the solar industry, March 26th. So that is in 2 days, making that Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. at 901 East 95th Street. 9:30 a.m. at 901 East 95th Street. Go build and further your career in the solar industry. And you can register at the bit.ly link, so bit.ly/4CFYZ. Hold on, I'll give it to you again. bit.ly/4C as in cat, F as in fantastic, Y as in yellow, the number 7, S, Z as in zebra.
All right. My host is talented. And can we have our next guest if she's there? Of course, this is Women's History Month.
Yes.
And if you notice, we've had nothing but women on air today, except for me and the engineer.
You know, we need men too, I guess. No.
I guess. And I want to thank and welcome to the air again our retired major, Deanna D. Love.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning?
Fantastic. Thank you. Welcome back. Absolutely no stranger to the program. Unfortunately, we don't have your favorite host, Reverend Johnson, with us today, but we are excited
but
to hear
from
you.
We got a better host. We got a better co-host.
We're excited to hear from you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Well, you know, in essence of our paternal sorority relationship, I've got to say there'll never be anyone better than him. I absolutely love Al. Al is just a joy to work with, and I love him being a part of our Bureau of Administration family, too. So.
There we go. Hugs, hugs, hugs. But I understand that we have a big event coming up next week, and we want you to announce it right now, and then after that we're going to phase on over to pay those bills. But announce your event first. So
the event we're talking about is our Women's Veteran Town Hall Resource and Employment Fair. It'll be next Saturday, March 30th, 2024, at Malcolm X College in the auditorium. The doors open at 9:30 a.m., and the program starts at 10 a.m. sharp and goes to 2 p.m. Lunch will be provided completely free of charge, and this will be an amazing opportunity for women veterans and current service members to have an open forum in a safe and welcoming environment to speak to those key leaders within the veteran and military community, and additionally, key community partners that provide women's services. So this will be an amazing time. Once again, the Women's Veteran Town Hall Resource and Employment Fair. We will have 8 employers there provided to us by the Illinois Department of Employment Services, and they'll be at the Malcolm X College located at 1900 West Jackson Boulevard from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And to register, you just have to visit cookgov.me/townhall or visit the Malcolm X College website. And if you go to their event page, we're going to be located there as well with the link to register.
Excellent, excellent. As we transition to pay those bills.
We have a couple more minutes left in the program, so we can take time to, as it's Women's History Month, celebrate the women's history that Major Love embodies every day, being the first female leader of the
Bureau of Veteran Affairs for Cook County.
Yeah, so being the you know, first director of Veteran Affairs for Cook County, my predecessor, who was an amazing veteran as well, you know, he passed the torch, you know, retired, or is that Air Force retired, Bill Brown, he set a great foundation there. And, you know, from his vision and the vision of President Preckwinkle, you know, we have been able to expand the services of our Department of Veteran Affairs and this Women's Veteran Town Hall, which is a collaboration, not only from, you know, Cook County Department of Veteran Affairs, but you're also looking at the Illinois Department of Employment Security, Illinois Department of Veteran Affairs, the Mayor's Office of Veteran Affairs, other organizations that service our veterans. But, you know, in particular, we're bringing on some women's services. So we'll have National Women's Veteran United. We will have our Cook County Veterans Assistance Commission. They'll be in attendance as well. So any veteran that is needing emergency services, they will be there, and it'll be a great time for you to interface with their staff and get to know who they are. Additionally, Merging Vets and Players, amazing organization, and they will be providing a women's self-defense seminar that starts promptly at 1 p.m. So, you know, you can come dress comfortably if you'd like to stay for the women's self-defense seminar, and it'll just be a really, really, really great time. Of course, you know, Madam President, President Preckwinkle, she'll be there to provide opening remarks. We'll have several commissioners from the county and other dignitaries, too, as well as a multitude of service organizations, both private, public, government organizations.
Whoa.
Go for it.
There we go. So we got self-defense, we got food, we got commissioners, and this is going to be at Malcolm X College, and the doors open at
9:30 a.m., and the program starts promptly at 10 a.m. We are military, so we're going to keep it on time. Yes.
And now, must you be a veteran to attend?
No, you do not have to be a veteran to attend this event. The speakers of this event will be our women veterans and current service members.
Yes.
However, anyone is invited to attend, to, you know, sit in the audience, to absorb this information, to witness this amazing event, and to indulge in the resources and employers that we will have there, too. So we will have over a dozen veteran service resources and organizations that will be in attendance as well. So, you know, like a one-stop shop, as we like to say, bringing those direct services to the community, and then also allowing our military community, and more specifically our women veteran and service members of our military community, a platform to speak.
So men can attend as well. Is that my understanding?
Yes, men can attend as well. You will just register as a guest.
And get all the great information, maybe learn something you haven't, hear from women veterans and their stories and how they can be unique from, you know, male veterans, and what they, and female veterans can then come find community there as well. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Major Love.
Thank you, and you guys have an amazing and blessed day.
Before you go, how do we reach your department?
You can reach our department by visiting the Cook County website and searching Veteran Affairs, and it'll take you right there. And to register for this event in particular, you'll see a link on the Cook County Veteran Affairs webpage. But additionally, you can visit cookgov.me, like me, /townhall, or you can visit the Malcolm X webpage, and you'll see on their event page that the event is located there as well. So please, 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 we encourage you all to come out and to be a part of this momentous event, one of hopefully more in the future, and, you know, just continue to support not only the military community, but for Women's History Month, be there to celebrate the history of our women veterans and current service members.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we made it through another show.
Yes.
My fabulous co-host, Adita Hayden.
Yes. Thank you, Al Kendall. This has been
my
Community Plan Foundation Hour.
Our world.
As we see it. We'll
How
talk
about
to
that?
You next Thank week.
Thank you much. And, of course, don't forget our engineer.